God has placed on each of our hearts that mighty call to be His Bible-believing, prophecy-reading, Sabbath-keeping, Jesus-coming-back, going-home people. May we answer that call today. May we be, in our surrender, by His grace, His people, His family, ready to go home with Him, because Jesus is coming soon. Lift up the trumpets and loud let them ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. God bless us. Thank you. Amen. It's so wonderful to see each of you. God bless you. And thank you for your testimony, sister. Thank you for each of your prayer requests. God bless us. God bless us. All your prayer requests. If Babe and I could add a prayer request, our family is struggling in a very heartbreaking way right now, and we ask for your prayers. God is with us. He's coming soon. God be with each of you today. My little one came to me, and my little five-year-old granddaughter, Finley, she came, she wasn't feeling real well. She came up and she crawled up in my lap and she said, "Papa, just snuggle me for a minute." So I was holding her. And grandfather's dream came true. My little one fell fast asleep. And there she was. I was holding her in my arms. She was fast asleep in Papa's arms. And I thought, this is what God is waiting for. A people that will trust Him so completely that they're willing to rest in His arms, in His will, and in His way. Dear ones, I pray that each one of us, through our trust in our Savior, will be willing to rest in the arms of God. God bless us. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me as we start? Dear Father, thank you so much for each one here today. Thank you for their testimonies. Their prayer requests come from the pain and struggle that we're going through. But Father, we're marchers. We're marchers to Zion. We've been called to be your people. You're coming back soon, Father. Give us your presence. Give us your grace. And let us keep marching as your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless us. You know, I was taking out the trash the other day, and it's one of the things wheelchair guys really like to do with those big barrels with the wheels. You know, we really get good at it. I was taking it down the driveway, and we have a dear, dear, sweet friend and contractor that's helping us do a little project there at the barn, on our little place there. And he came over, and I was going down, minding my own business, taking out the trash, and he said, Rick, come on over here. And I looked around. Well, you want me? Now, I'm a wheelchair guy. He wanted me on the job site with him. I said, on the job, I mean, the big jobs, I mean, lumber and ladders and tools and this concrete and dust and dirt. I thought, oh, you want me? Me? On the job site? I said, okay. What in the world can a wheelchair guy do? And I'm like, I don't know, but he called me. So I went out there and, you know, he had me lock my wheelchair, bracing a big lumber and putting things on the, I mean, I was out there with the concrete. I was out there with the dust and the dirt and the nails and the hammer. Oh, it was a good place to be for a wheelchair guy. But I thought, how unlikely I am to be called here on the job site. The most unlikely thing is a wheelchair guy out in the construction zone. But there I was, bracing that big timber and having to put things up in the nails and the air guns and all. I was right there with my wheelchair doing actual construction work in a wheelchair. I was unlikely. And I just wondered, It was fun. But I just wonder if anyone here today feels unlikely, unable, unworthy, untrained, unexperienced, just not able, unlikely, dear ones. God has called each of us to cooperate with Him so that He can build a character of His love in us, so that we reflect His love to the whole world, so we can come back and take His family home. Dear ones, so if you're feeling unlikely today, may we be assured that God has called us. God has called us to cooperate with Him. To cooperate with Him and let Him build that character of grace in us so that we can be reflectors of the divine nature. May we be, in our unlikely feeling, may we be willing to cooperate with our Savior. God bless us. God bless us. Remember that beautiful quote. That quote is so very famous. Ms. White came out in the book Education, the original transcript. Page 47, paragraph 3. The original transcript was, "The greatest want of the world." Remember that one? "The greatest want of the world is the want of men and women, you know, people, who will stand and not be bought or sold." Remember that one? "They will be honest and true to their in their inner heart. And they will not be afraid to call sin by its right name." Remember that quote? "And whose duty to conscience is as sure as needles to the pole. Men who will stand for what is right, no matter the heavens fall." Remember that beautiful quote? Well, my little one reminded me of the original quote the other day, because she came over and he said, "Papa, I'm not feeling so well." This is when she was feeling sick. "I'm not feeling so well." I said, "Oh, Fu, what do you think is the matter?" She said, "I think I've got a cockroach in my tummy." I said, "Oh, no, not the cockroach in the tummy sickness. What do you think we should do?" She said, "Oh, I got to get it out of there, Papa. I got to get that cockroach out of there." And it reminded me of the original quote, of that magnificent quote in the book Education. The original one, 20 years earlier, Signs of the Times, May 4, 1882. There's two articles that came out, Haroldsburg College and the Blessings of Labor. The Haroldsburg College one, May 4, 1882. The original quote from Miss Smith, inspired by Miss White, came out, "The greatest want of the world, the want of people, is the want of men and women, who will not be bought or sold." Huh. Kind of like the superheroes of faith in Hebrews 11, isn't it? They had no price. They could not be bought because they had no price. You know what? Now, I'm a moment here. If we have a price, Satan is going to find it. And he's going to buy you out. The greatest one of the world is the one of men and women who will not be bought or sold. Abraham, Isaac, Noah, Abel, Enoch, the heroes of faith of Hebrews 11. Do you know, if you look in your heart, you know, this is only between you and God. If you have a price, Satan will find it. The greatest one of the world is the one of us who will not be bought or sold, who is honest and true in our hearts. And here's the original quote that my little one made me think of as she had cockroaches in her tummy. "Men, women, people who are not afraid to call sin by its right name and condemn it in themselves and others." Get the cockroach out of there. Get that sin out of there. "Yes, I have sin in my heart. I want it out. Dear Lord, take it out of me." Do we look at sin that way? I want to look at sin like my little one looks at cockroaches. We got to get it out of there. But yet we go to sleep at night with sin raging. The greatest want of the world is the want of men and women who will not be afraid to call sin by its right name and condemn it in themselves and in others. Men and women whose duty to conscience is to duty is so true as needles to the pole. Men and women who will stand for what is right though the heavens fall. Dear ones, here's my question. How can we stand for what's right if we're holding on to what's wrong? Dear ones, how can we stand for what's right Get those cockroaches out of there. You're going to take the sin out of there. You want, oh, are we reflectors of God's character, or are we reflectors of Babylon? Didn't we sing in our opening song, 422, my theme song, marching to Zion? Look in your heart, dear ones. Are we marching to Zion, or are we marching to Babylon? That's a serious, profound inquiry. Question. It's easy to march to Babylon. Babylon is shiny. Babylon is rewarding. Are we marching to Zion? Are we getting the roaches out of our tummy? Are we asking God to take the sin out of our life? Are we asking God to reflect His mighty, beautiful, lovely character of love to the world so that we can be His reflector, so that we can be His people, so that we can be with Him? God bless us. God bless us. As we go to Hebrews chapter 11, the superhero chapter. It's the faith chapter, superhero chapter, and the profound question of, are we marching to Zion as God's people chapter? Do you know, the other day, we were doing some shopping, and out of the blue, a man just called my name, and I looked, and there it was, one of my old buddies from the wound care center at the hospital. Babe and I spent, much of our life, but a long time in wound care. Wheelchair guys have to do a lot of wound care. So and there was one of my buddies that were there, and he didn't tell, I didn't know, but while he was in wound care with me, you know, we wait in the lobby, and we wait to be called, and we share our stories, and we become bonded. We become family. I mean, all of us wounded and broken, and we're all in there and trying to get healed. And it's just a terrible but wonderful place to be. And he was all healed up. And he told me a story. While he was in wound care, he's had 3 heart surgeries, bypasses, and pacemakers and procedures on his heart. 3 of them. I didn't realize there 3 of them. And he wasn't healing. So he had all of his heart procedures all done and finished and completed. And then he told me as he was going, you know, I just couldn't start healing until I got my heart right. I thought, oh my, that's me. That's me. That's God's people. That's us. We can't heal in the character of God until we get our heart right. Our heart right with Him. We ask Him to take the sin out, to get the cockroaches out of our tummy, get the sin out of our life. I don't want it. I want to reflect You, dear God. I want to march to Zion, not to Babylon. And to be aware of where I'm marching. Because oftentimes, wonderful, sincere, dedicated folk aren't aware that they're marching to Babylon. Look in your heart, dear ones. Are we reflecting God's character? Are we reflecting His love? Are we yearning for His presence? By God's grace, by God's grace. Do you want, I can't heal and just get my heart right. Do you want, then we get our heart right today. And Hebrews 11 is a getting your heart right chapter. It's the faith chapter, remember, substance and evidence. Faith is a substance, our relationship. Evidence of relationship is our obedience. The reference verse is what? On 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, how is that? How is Jesus in the light of His Father's righteousness? By relational obedience. Relational obedience based on surrender. Relational obedience based on, is that our walk? Are we in a relationship with God? Is it obedience? And are we surrendered, dear ones? If we go through verse 7. And if we do that, we have fellowship with Him, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's where we need to be. Cleansed from all sin, dear ones. That's the reference verse as we go into Hebrews chapter 11. The faith chapter, superhero chapter, and the call to Zion marching chapter. And dear ones, faith, acknowledging the fact that God is, how would the world change if we really realized that God is? That God is God. How would it change? God, that He can and that He will, and then our commitment to I do commit to worshiping that God. How would our life change, dear ones, if we realized that God was God? God Almighty, the King. Wouldn't we talk differently? Wouldn't we act differently? Wouldn't we say things differently? If God was God and we surrendered to Him, dear ones, we would want to reflect Him, dear ones. As we go through the superheroes, I've had so many ones there in our series here on superheroes, but we know what faith is, the relationship, obedience based on surrender. God is, God can, God will. And I do. I do. I commit to that. And then we get into the superheroes, starting with Abel, and we go through Abel and Enoch and Noah built that ark in the time of a refuge, a beautiful Noah. And then we go to Abraham and Sarah. Oh, he did Sarah. I love, she judged God faithful. And she, when she wasn't able to, she had a baby. Didn't she? Sarah had a baby. She judged God faithful. She declared God faithful. We have Isaac. We have beautiful Jacob and Joseph. And then we come to our superhero today, Moses. And I want us to look at Moses. Simply because we, in the prophetic unfolding of where we are now, in this idea of the new leader of the beast power. All the prophecy that's happening, all the things that are going on, I want us to look at Moses. Because Moses is given three wonderful gifts that I want us to have, a claim today, as we continue our march to Zion. And we go, and be beautiful, it's up there in the verse. Thank you for reading that for us. By faith, Moses, when he was born, verse 23, was 3 months that his parents hid him, Amram and Jacob hid him, because he was a boy, and the king made the commandment, the boy should be killed. But do you want to look at that last part? And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Moses, his mom and dad, were not afraid of the king because they worshiped God. They weren't afraid of the king's commandments because they worshiped God's commandments. They were not afraid of this world. They were afraid of God. And fear, not afraid of fear, but fear of God, of terror, of obedience, all of surrender. They surrendered to God Almighty. So they weren't afraid. So Moses grew up with that. Just a lesson on what our homes can influence our children in many ways, although we may not feel it. Amram and Jacob, Moses' mom and dad, they feared God. They were civic duty, obedient, I'm sure, to civic, physic, and duties, but they worship God before the king of Pharaoh. And go on to verse 4, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of age. In other words, he grew up this way, but Moses made his own decision. Didn't he? When he came of age. He made his own decision. He didn't follow mom and dad's decision. He didn't follow mom and dad because mom and dad went to this church. He didn't just go to that church because they went to. Moses made up his own mind here. You want to? We need to look at that for just a minute. Are we in this denomination because our family has led us in this denomination? Or are we in this denomination because we're marchers to Zion, dear ones? I need to say, our denomination right now is suffering great struggle, isn't it? Our denomination right now is experiencing great shaking. Our denomination right now is experiencing great trembling. But dear ones, our movement is not. Our movement with a message is sure. Never changed and never will because it's God's word. Dear ones, we're not marching to Zion in a denomination. We're marching to Zion under the grace of God. And Moses then followed. He came of age, made his decision, and listen here, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And how can a young person come to that conclusion on his own? Dear? How can that be? He said, all the riches and glories of Egypt as a teenager. I love cars. I imagine Moses had the greatest chariots out there. the fastest chariot. I mean, he gave it all up to serve and worship and suffer with God. How does that work? How do you do that? He had the Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, he was rich and famous. He was Pharaoh's. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had everything he could possibly. That was. I mean, he had everything the world could offer. Moses did, and he chose not to go that route, chose to suffer with God's people. He had fame, he had riches, he had all that he needed. But he chose. And how did he choose the suffer of Jesus rather than the glories and treasures of Egypt? How did he do that, dear friends? And here we go on this study. This is why I want Moses' life to be our life. I want what he received to us to receive today as we march on through this tumultuous time in our history, and as prophecy unfolds, I want us to keep marching and not get discouraged. Dear friends, there may be someone here today who stopped their march or slowed it because of discouragement. I really want to thank our dear Julie and Charles and their wonderful boys back there to help be a part of this movement of ours. They're being trained, the young fellers, to walk to Zion. To march, to keep marching. I want to thank them. I want to thank Charles and the boys very specially anyway, because it's very hard to study the gospel together when you can't hear it. So thank you guys back there so much for letting us hear the gospel by Jesus Christ. This sweet, sweet gospel, this truth of transformation. They've been so diluted and so polluted and so attacked. And so skewed all different ways, that sweet, sweet message of Jesus coming back and going home and being his people and letting his character reflect to them, that has been so neglected and erased and criticized, hasn't it? That sweet gospel message of, I don't have to live with cockroaches in my tummy. I can live with reflecting God's character, and I can be with him. Have we rejected Babylon today? Have we rejected Egypt today? Or are we still following the mandates of Pharaoh instead of the invitation of our Savior? Moses turned down the fame of Egypt, the riches of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer with God's children. How, oh how, oh how do we do it? How do we get our feet out of Babylon on the march to Zion? How do we do it? How are we going to do it? This life is so full of difficulties and struggle. We're asking for prayer for our family. Our family is struggling right now. Well, I know your family is struggling. Your heart is struggling. You're trembling. How do we do this? How do we do? How did Moses do it? How did he? Yes, his mom and dad did it. But he came of age. He made his own decision. How did Moses make the decision to get out of Babylon? Out of Egypt. And into the kingdom of God. How do you do such a thing? Verse 26. The King James has interesting, wonderful, lovely verbiage. And it's your verse 26. Read this together. Do you want to? And this is the verse that's going to tell us how. We need to have a prayer real quick. Dear fathers, we look at this verse, your word, your scripture. Help us to understand how we get our feet out of Babylon and our feet into your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26. Esteem, this is Joseph. This is how he, Moses, this is how he did it. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Calculating in his mind, weighing his options. Esteeming, suffering with Christ, being greater than the riches of the treasures of Egypt. Oh, how in the world did Egypt had everything. To go barefoot in the sand with the sleigh as a slave in Egypt with God's people. I could have the chariots and the women and the chill out. I could have everything I wanted. And choosing God's people and suffering, how do you do that? He chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt. Here it is. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Page 197, paragraph 3, Patriarchs and Prophets. Jacob was in the midst of his struggle. Ready to die, it says. Ready just to give up. His physical was so stressed that nothing more could be out, given out. He was stressed, wrestling that adversary that under the chapter, Jacob's night of wrestle. Wrestling, fearing for his life. And then the weight that Satan put on him of his sin, and he was about ready just to be consumed in guilt and worry and stress. In the midst of all of that horror that he was going through, Jacob, page 197, paragraph 3, simply says, or paragraph 1, I'm sorry, said this, Patriarchs and Prophets, original transcript, said, Jacob, in the midst of his horror, do you want, are we in the midst of struggle and horror right now? Well, this is what Jacob did. He fastened his trembling grasp upon the promises of God, the power of God, the heart of God. He fastened his trembling grasp on the heart of God. And the heart of infinite love could not. God Almighty, who created everything. He created everything. He was God Almighty. Could not turn away the sinner's plea. That's us. That's us. We're the sinners. We're pleading. God could not turn away our call in the midst of our trouble. And Moses did the same thing. Moses fastened his trembling heart unto God's heart, his promises, his love, his power. And in so doing, 2 Peter 1:4 tells us that in so doing, these are precious, great, exceeding great promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. He forsook Egypt because he didn't live there anymore. He lived in the love of God. He lived in the power of God. He lived in the heart of God. He didn't live in Egypt. He didn't live in Babylon. He didn't live in Hollywood. He didn't live on this world in all the trouble. He lived in the love of God. He fastened his grip because he had his eyes on the reward. And the reward wasn't the streets of gold. The reward wasn't the silver mansions. The reward was the fulfillment of God's promises, the fulfillment of the return of the Messiah, and the great restoration of all things. Moses did not fasten his heart to the mansions. He fastened his heart to the Messiah. And he became partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. He became partakers of the right. That's what God is calling us to right now. To be a partaker of the divine nature. So that we escape the corruption of the world through lust, through selfishness. We escape it. Moses escaped it because he wasn't living there. He was living in God's hands, in God's will, in God's way. He was reflecting God's character. He had fastened, like Jacob and all the superheroes, he had fastened his trembling grasp in the midst of our tremble. Fastened his trembling grasp upon the power of God, the heart of God. And God gave him these three things, these three gifts. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt because he wasn't living there anymore. Not fearing the wrath of the king. That kind of a pattern here, isn't it? His mom and dad didn't fear the command. He didn't fear the command because he feared God. Didn't fear the wrath of the king. For he had endurance, seeing him who was invisible. See, Moses was given three gifts. This is us right now during our time of struggle. If we would fasten, no matter what the struggle may be. Is it guilt? Is it problems, past, family, struggle, issues, health, whatever that struggle may be. Jacob was in the midst of it. Moses was in the midst of it. All the superiors were in the midst of the struggle, of the great trembling of heart. And they fastened their grasp. And they had their eyes not on the mansions, but on the Messiah. And this is what Moses received. Number one, a fearlessness of the world. And a fearfulness of God. Isn't that what we're going to be needing? As the Sunday law is being agitated very loudly now, and soon to be legislated and then mandated, aren't we going to need to be like Moses, mom and dad, and like Moses himself, not afraid of the world, but so fearful of God Almighty? First gift that Moses was received by fastening his heart to God's heart was he had became fearless of the world. Sunday law mandated become fearless of the world and fearful of God. The second thing Moses received, as we read our scriptures here, was the strength to endure. How do we march? How do we keep marching when the problems are so overwhelming? Because God will give us strength to endure. Strength to endure. Moses was given strength to endure, dear ones. Sarah was given strength to have a baby when she couldn't because she judged God faithful. The third thing, a fearlessness of the world, a fearfulness for God, strength to endure, and the third gift, dear ones, and this is what I want for all of us because I know we're struggling. I know that we are in trouble and problems with our life. Our families, our loved ones, our heart. The third gift was a peace to prevail. Rahab was given peace. She received the spies in peace. When the walls of Jericho were falling down around her, she was given peace. Moses was given peace. He didn't fear the king's command. He didn't fear the Pharaoh's command and mandates. He worshiped God. We'll be given strength to endure as we march along, peace to prevail, as we go face whatever we face in life, whatever happens as Sabbath keepers, when the Sunday law is mandated, whatever happens, we'll face it with peace. There were times when the reformers, history, were enveloped in flame and they were singing hymns of grace and glory to God. Whatever we face, we'll have a peace to prevail as long as God has us to march. Always had this thought that God has this divine anesthesia for those who worship Him. And if they're called to the gift of martyrdom, and that miracle of rest, that God will give them peace to prevail. God will give them strength to endure and peace to prevail. You know, that's what we need as we march to Zion. If we have stopped the march, or if we have slowed the march, or if it seems like just overwhelmed or too discouraged, we don't even want to march anymore, dear one. If that's our case, you know, may we take heart and realize that God will give us a fearlessness of this world and a fearfulness of Him. Strength to endure, to keep marching. Strength to keep marching. You feel like you're just so weak, you're exhausted, I can't go on. God will give you strength to endure. And it's so scary, I can't face it. God will give you peace in your heart to prevail. Peace in your heart to prevail. May we be superheroes of faith for God. Amen. And it all starts with fastening our trembling hearts upon the heart of God. Fasten it. And the heart of infinite love cannot turn away the sinner's plea. May we be marchers. May we be marchers. Marchers to Zion. I was turning a corner. Babe and I were doing some shopping. I think it was, where was it? It was a big part of Sam's. I think it was Sammy's Club. If y'all ever go out there. I was going around doing my wheelchair physical therapy exercise program. Sam's Club doesn't know that they're part of that, but I used their building as my physical therapy rehab. And I go in there, and I was going along, just beautiful day, listening to the birds, doing my workout, exercise. I was outside and not in the hospital this time, and it felt so good. So I was doing my rounds, coming around the corner, and all of a sudden, there were gunshots. They started shooting at us. Here we were at Sam's Club, and I was going around the corner, minding my own business, shoppers, buggies, people, you know, with full of happy groceries, and the gunshots rang out. I thought, oh, who's shooting at us? And the guys in front of me ducked down, and there were some ladies pushing carts to their cars, and they pushed their carts real quick and got behind their car. There was gunshots at Sam's Club. And I looked around. Didn't see anything that looked unusual. But I noticed something. I noticed that I was tilting a bit in my wheelchair. I was kind of leaning to the right. I don't know what that was. What happened? Where's the shooter? And I looked down. It was me! My tire had blown. And it sounded just like a gunshot. I thought someone was shooting. I was ducking myself, and it was me all the time. I was the shooter. And the ladies put their groceries on. They got in their car, and they just took off. They weren't dealing with this. But the gentleman, they kind of ducked down, and I ducked down. But we both got up and realized, it was me. I was the shooter. They came over to me. Sweet, sweet guys. After their heart went back to normal rhythm. He's not shooting at me. It's just the wheelchair guy. He has a flat tire in the parking lot. He came over to me. And the sweet, sweet question. Just ringing in my heart. Because he came over and said, put his hand on my shoulder and said, okay, boss. What do we do now? Now that we know you didn't shoot at us. But it looks like maybe... You know, what do we do now? I thought, well, I'm stuck. I'm stranded without my wheel. I'm stuck in the parking lot. I'm stuck and I'm stranded. He said, I know. Well, what do you think? What are you going to do? What should we do now? I said, I think I better call for help. So I called baby. But if we can realize that we're stuck and stranded in sin, in the selfishness of sin, if we're stuck and stranded. There's no way we're going out of this. We're stuck and stranded in the confines of selfishness and sinfulness. I'd like to pose that question together. We're working this together. What are we going to do now? We're stuck and we're stranded. What do we do? I called for help. Dear ones, may we do the same. May we call for help. The first angel's message of Revelation 14 tells us to worship God the Creator and make your decision because judgment is now. What do we do now? We're stuck and stranded. Dear ones, make our decision. Who's in power? Who's in power in your life? Is it Babylon? Is it Egypt? Is it Hollywood? Is it the world? Or is it God Almighty and His kingdom of love? God, who's in power? We need to make our decision. First angel message. Second angel is simply the idea that the world's way has fallen. Third angel, don't fall with it. Purpose in your heart. Don't get the mark of the beast. Purpose in your heart to get the seal of God. Make your decision now. Make your decision. I'm not going to get the mark of the beast. I'm going to get the seal of God. I'm going to be God's people. I'm going to keep marching with the strength to endure, the peace to prevail. And I'm not going to be afraid of the world. I'm going to be fearful of God Almighty. You know, God is going to give me through. He's going to give me strength, give me peace. Dear ones, by God's grace, may we keep marching. My question today is, may we make that decision? What are we going to do now? The question is, what are we going to do now? The answer is, the only answer is, we're stuck and stranded in sin. The only answer is, call out and make your decision. God Almighty, make your decision. Fasten your heart to God. And no matter what we face, we'll face it with strength. We'll face it with peace. And if we keep marching, will be in our Father's presence when he returns. May God bless you. May God bless each of us. May we make that decision today to fasten our trembling grasp upon him. Receive strength, receive peace, receive fearlessness, and may we be finally God's people marching to Zion.
Amen. Amen.
God bless each one of you. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you so much for giving us your scripture and your promises. And Father, in our struggle today, as we fasten our hearts to you, please will you fill us with your strength, fill us with your peace, fill us with your fearlessness, and Father, may we be focused on you as our Savior. Lead us your way, your peace, and may we trust you enough to rest in your arms until you take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.